Our last speaker, Dr. Myung-hee Kim, is from the People's Health Institute in South Korea. She works for the People's Health Institute, which is an independent research institute in her country. She graduated from medical school and is now a social epidemiologist with a PhD in preventive medicine and a master's degree in public health. Her research interests are on health inequality, labor health, and the right to health for all. So Dr. Kim, we look forward to your presentation on the epidemiology of semiconductor production.
Yeah, thank you for coming here to share ideas together. And I think that it's some kind of a summary of all the session. I'd like to talk about the epidemiological findings and methodological limitations about the health impact of semiconductor production. Yeah, I have to say that I have no relationship to disclose. Yeah, it says that the first form of the semiconductor production dates back to early 1950s, but the epidemiological studies was just began in 1980s. And you can see that the most of studies were focused on the cancers and reproductive health, and along with the expansion of the global production chain, also the study locations were also expanded from UK, US to Taiwan and South Korea. I think that there is one missing link, is only Japan. I don't know why, but I couldn't find any report from Japan. You know, the Japan is almost the very largest country to produce the semiconductor materials. So I'd like to some summary result. The first talk is about cancer. The most of cancer studies have a retrospective cohort design, and they use the secondary data, for example, employment cohort, vital statistics, and cancer registration data. And a few studies, including Dr. Klapp's, there were some proportional mortality ratio studies and some case control studies. And as you saw in before the prior presentation, there were little consistencies across studies, but we could find some case that there were some risk elevation for some type of cancers. For example, the breast cancer for Taiwan, lung cancer UK, and brain and hematologic cancer in the United States, and hematologic cancer for Korea. The next slide shows the SMR and PMR for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And you can see that the IBM, the letter is too small. Usually the IBM and the Korean studies show some kind of elevated SMR, but although they were not statistically significant. However, the PMR and PCMR, the Dr. Klapp showed that we could see some elevated risk in case of PMR and PCMR. And it's the slide for the standardized incidence ratio. This is the line for the general population's risk, and you can see that there are no significantly elevated risk except for Korean female workers. However, through a more close observation, we could find some trend. Although the size is very small, we could see that there is some kind of a risk increase in this case. It means that the longer employment or exposed groups had more likely to show the higher SIR, although it's not statistically significant, but we can see some kind of a trend. It's the case for leukemia and SMR for SMR and proportional mortality ratios. In this case, only the Korean female workers and IBM female workers, especially in manual jobs, showed elevated SMR or PCMR. I think it's a very complex finding, so you cannot follow all of this. And this is the slide for SIR, standardized incidence ratios, and We could not find any consistent result, but also we can see some kind of a small increase of the point estimates, you know, among IBM San Jose workers only here. And this slide shows the brain cancer, the SMR and PMR. And elevated SMR for brain tumor was more frequently observed in U.S. studies, both IBM and CIA studies. The Semiconductor Industry Association, the both studies show some elevation for brain cancer. In particular, for the PMR or PCMR study showed some statistically significant results. In looking at the SIR, the standardized incidence ratio, the results seem to be very equivocal, just positive or just some negative. However, we can see that some longer employment or exposed groups have some kind of a trend to increase the small increase of the risk. So I can summarize that when interpreting this kind of result, we should be very careful. First of all, the healthy worker effect was very clear. I can show you. This slide shows the SMR distribution. You know, the SMR is some kind of a population. The compare the risk with reference to the general population. Usually the risk for the general population is 100, and almost all cases of the study show that the SMR for all cause is very much smaller compared to the general population. Even in Korean male cases, the SMR was just 25 to the general population. And you can see there also the SMR for cancer is much larger, relatively larger compared to the SMR for all cause mortality. And there are also the second problems. I think that Dr. Clapp showed us that many of the studies failed to include all workers, especially early retirees before the start of a follow-up or vulnerable workers, such as the migrant workers in the United States, were just excluded. I can show you. It's the case of Korea. The Samsung Gihun plant was built in 1986. And a high official in Samsung said in his memorandum that in 1988, orders were so overwhelming that we could not meet the demands, even though the Gihun number 2 line was fully operating for 24 hours a day. But the employment data was only available after 1998, so there was a huge missing gap. You know that it means that the study failed to include workers exposed to unstable, ever-changing, and overloaded conditions, even under the weaker OSH regulations there. And one more problem was there. You know, there was some serious problem of socioeconomic confounding. The male workers are usually the engineers. Many times they have some kind of college degree or something like that. Actually, the male workers' SMR are much smaller compared to the female workers' SMR. Usually the female workers are most operators with very low socioeconomic status. So all of these mean that there could be a bias toward the null. There is nothing to happen. And another important problem is the information bias. There is a huge and the considerable amount of some uncertainty in classifying their exposure status. So one example is the Korean study. So many female workers, about 10% of fab or 10% of assembly workers were officially classified as engineers. But it's not the case in Korea. Usually the male workers are engineers and female workers just operators, but officially they were classified as engineers. So it means that there was also huge the misclassification bias toward null. So it means that we consider some kind of discount rate. And the final problem is that the statistical power. Usually many studies just conclude that it is statistically insignificant. So we need some more study. It's almost the same conclusion. For example, about 90% of the study subject in Korean study were just born after 1970s. So the number of cases for cancer or death was too small to conclude anything. And also the another problem is that just the small sample size. The UK study, the subject number was just about 2,000 or just 4,000. So it means that there is huge possibility of the false negativity. And the next theme is the reproductive health. The reproductive health problem is very important for the semiconductor workers because the main workforce, the doctor, the former presenter also says about that, the main force of the semiconductor production consists of female workers in their childbearing age. And one other important issue is that the harmful effect could be transmitted across generations. And also one important point is that usually the reproductive health problems have a relatively short latency. It means that they could play some kind of sentinel event for detecting the long-term health outcomes such as cancer. So it could be a very important issue for us. And unlike the cancer studies, the reproductive health studies adapted a very wide range of study designs, including retrospective and prospective cohort design and case control study and even the cross-sectional design. And based on the primary data collection, such as self-report, medical record, or just concurrent employment data, and even the daily urine collection, is very amazing. So based on this kind of primary data collection, they could make some internal comparison between fabrication and even some cases, the specific process or specific agent, mainly the ethylene glycol ether, and they could identify some subclinical cases, for example, the early fetal loss or just fecundability. So this is the slide to show the spontaneous abortion. Oh, there is no title. It shows the spontaneous abortion. We can clearly see that there is some consistent result to show the consistently elevated risk for spontaneous abortion. And even we can see that for specific processes, photo, diffusion, etching, and masking, there are elevation of the risk. And even the ethylene glycol ether, there was some highly and statistically significant elevation for the risk of spontaneous abortion. Also, there are two negative studies, and they were based on the odds ratio estimation. All of these results based on the relative risk estimation. And there are also many other outcomes. The first one is that the birth weight, the babies were more lighter, born to the female workers with persistently rotating shift work, not just chemicals, but rotating shift work. And we could also observe the aberration in menstrual cycle and fecundability or fertility among the fab workers and some specific processes, for example, dopant or photoresist. And the most serious concern was raised in terms of the offspring health outcomes. One Taiwan study reported that the babies born to male workers employed in the semiconductor production during their preconception period showed a higher risk of congenital malformation, especially the heart malformation. And one another study showed that there was some significantly raised cancer risk for childhood, the born to female workers employed in the semiconductor production during the preconception period. Yes, so we can say that We should admit that all studies are not free from bias, and one definite study never comes. We cannot wait. And also, we should keep in mind that statistical significance is not the only criteria for causal inference. I'm an epidemiologist, but statistical significance is just only one component of causal inference. And in this case, I think that consistency and plausibility should be more stressed. And anyway, we should make some kind of a causal inference based on the available best evidence, considering the potential biases. And on the other hand, we should act under the precautionary principle, because no evidence of association does not mean evidence of no association. And I think that we have to do something. We should keep in mind that all the problems are not just some kind of a past, nor the naturally just disappear by tech innovation. You know that in spite of the huge improvement in safety or the health protections, but still, there are so many problems unknown to us, and the more problem is that the production process is continuously changing, so nobody knows what happened in here. And even in 1990s and 2000, there are some reports about the adverse reproductive health outcomes. And along with the extension of the global production chain to China or some other developing countries, so we should pay more attention to there. You know, we learned that occupational health problems are just shifted to other countries instead of elimination. So the same tragedy can be replicated across many countries. So we should be paying more attention to there. And one more problem is that we should close monitor the further, because the past exposure, the health problems with long latency should be continuously monitored for example, cancer and offspring cancer, something like that. This is the last one, and I strongly suggest that the international collaboration is some kind of imperative. In order to tackle the statistical power issue, we have to make some kind of a pooled analysis. I think that the benchmark, the IER Global Khan project could be a good benchmark for us. They just gather the cancer registrant data from all countries, and they try to do some kind of pooled analysis, and they could present some point estimate for us. So it could be a good benchmark for us. And also, I think that the information about the newly recognized health events in any one country should be shared across international activists and also researchers before the publication, before the scientific publication. And I think that the results are very, very complex, and there are so many results and so many discussions about that. So I think that we should focus some more specific topics. For example, hematologic cancer and breast cancer and brain cancer. I know that all other problems are also important, but we have to focus some topics in some priority list. And also, we have to study more about sentinel events. The one Taiwan study, this study reported that there was some significant risk for hematology abnormality in male workers. Usually they were the maintenance workers, engineers. They have some short-term exposure, but high concentration exposure they expose. So we have to try that kind of problems, hematologic abnormalities, reproductive health, and skin problems. Skin problem itself is not so serious concern, but it could be a sentinel for us. And finally, and first of all, I think that disclosure of corporate data and workers' participation should be guaranteed for all of these. Yes, thank you.